Praise the Lord. Well, you know, already the meetings are half over. Where have the rest of you been? But we started, last night in Corey, and, I had a message, but God had other things in mind, and God just showed up in a mighty powerful way, and we just had a great time, Lord, and of course, this morning in the local church here. But tonight really is the start of the, I don't even want to say the start of the Holy Ghost service, because it started last night, but the start for the rest of you. How about that? God's a God of redemption. We've already had church, and we've already been to heaven and back, and now it's your time, your turn to catch up with us. And so let's just get everything that God has for us. I really want to thank the pastors for putting these meetings on. This is the fifth year that we've had the Mayville meetings. And actually, this, I think when you asked me, this was my first extended meetings that I ever did. And so we've been having them right along, and they've been rich and helpful. I look forward to these times. We hear from heaven, so thank you so much, and especially those of you that help put these meetings on, the Ministry of Helps. I know there's considerable cost and work and labor to put on meetings, so thank all of you for working and serving, and for the rest of you, just for showing up, and that, praise the Lord. And I really appreciate it. I believe we have all the Family Church pastors here tonight, praise the Lord. You get to keep your ordination now that you showed up. Yeah. I know the rest of you think you've done it willingly, but but no, I'm always so honored and thrilled to have the pastors here, and they always bring a vital supply. And I believe what we're going to share tonight applies to all of us, and to get what God has in these last days. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And I'm just kind of looking, does someone have a clock for me? Yeah, there it is. Beautiful. Now, why do I use a clock? I'm anointed, you're not. And and when you're anointing, time, you know, goes by quickly. Moses was in the glory 40 days and 40 nights, and it just seemed like a day or two up there. And so when you're anointing, I mean, you can go 3-4 hours up here and having a great time, and everyone else is being tortured in the seats. And so that's why I have the clock. And the beautiful thing is, if I don't get it done tonight, we have tomorrow night. And you pastors need to learn that. You don't need to cram the whole gospel in one setting and wear the saints out. You know, you'll get them next week. And so I'm a big proponent of, you know, series and just, you know, picking them up and, you know, picking it up next week. So praise the Lord. So Acts 20. And let's pray. Father, we're so honored, delighted to be here. Father, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for every service. And Father, we hunger for that plan. We hunger for that purpose. Lord, help us hit the mark. Father, over and over again, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And Lord, we desire to hear what your Spirit is saying to us, what your Spirit is saying to the family churches. We want to get this job done. So, Father, we trust you for utterance tonight. Whatever you want said, may it be said. Whatever you want done, may it be done. Father, may your glory be made manifest. Father, may we hit the mark tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, I'm going to just read a couple of verses, starting with verse 22. I'm reading out of the King James Bible. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And Paul said this, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, isn't that a cheery verse? Yeah. That's a word to all you pastors that I'm delivering. Bonds and afflictions await you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Yeah. I know it seems very cheery, but these are Holy Ghost meetings, are they not? And we see the Holy Ghost is mentioned here. And we see something, and we can learn something about how the Holy Ghost operates, how the Holy Ghost ministers to us, and how the Holy Ghost communicates truths. And here it said that the Holy Ghost in Paul's life and ministry, that every city that he went to, the Spirit of God kept witnessing the same thing over and over again. Now, in this case, it was bonds and afflictions. And so that tells us something about the Holy Ghost, that whenever there's something that the Holy Ghost wants done or something the Holy Ghost wants to accomplish, he'll not just say it once. He will say it over and over and over again. You know, Paul preached in many cities. You know, some of them are recorded, some of them are not. But he said every single city, every time he got in the Spirit of God kept saying the same thing over and over again. And even after this account, when he said, you know, over and over, the Holy Ghost keeps telling me, you know, when I go to Jerusalem, something's going to happen there. Now look at verse 21, chapter 21 and verse 4. And it reads this, "And finding certain disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." And so we read in chapter 20, Paul kept saying over and over again, and it didn't stop there. The very next chapter, the very next city he went to, the same thing. Disciples were picking something up in the Spirit. Now, we have taught this, that the disciples didn't necessarily minister accurately. And we see here and we learn that really disciples should not be ministering to apostles. God doesn't work from the ground up. He works from the top down. We see that in the life of Moses. Whenever anyone wanted to instruct Moses and give correction to Moses, they ended up buried. God doesn't work that way. You know, if you belong to a local church, you never have a word for your pastor. Now, you may think you have a word for your pastor, but you don't have a word for your pastor. You know, it'll cause an early death. It's just violation of spiritual laws. And so, but what we see here, and we understand we're under grace, that these disciples were ministering the apostles, and they weren't accurate of what they ministered. But nevertheless, and there's much we can learn from that, and that's why I teach that disciples have to be, or anybody that is a Christian should be very careful what they pick up in the Spirit. Because only a prophet has the accuracy to see clearly in the Spirit and know how to minister something that he sees and picks up. I remember one time I was up at my parents' place. They owned 80, 85 acres of land, and I was just sitting there talking to my mom in the driveway. And I looked out, and there was an open field, and at probably a half a mile or so, three quarters of a mile, there's a woods, and there's a hedge line along the woods. And I looked, and there was something black moving. It looked like one big mass of body moving. And I said, look, there's a bear. I mean, it looked exactly like a bear, you know, big moving. And you know, once in a while they get bears, you know, in my folks' place. And so my mom went and got binoculars. And I looked through the binoculars, and it wasn't a bear, it was a herd of turkey. But because I didn't have the right equipment, I misjudged what I saw. And so we see here that's what the disciples did. They ministered to Paul that he should not go up to Jerusalem. But if you read the Bible just prior to this, the Lord says, you need to bear witness to me of me in Jerusalem, then go to Rome after. Jesus himself appeared to Paul, tell him this was the will of God for him to go to Jerusalem. And that's another interesting thing. Whenever, you know, a lot of people want visitations, wants the Lord to speak and appear to them. You know, usually when the Lord appears to you, it's because there's rough sailing up ahead. It'll be an anchor to the soul. And this is why Jesus appeared to Paul, tell him, you need to go to Jerusalem. And the Spirit bears witness in every city. And here, evidently with disciples. They were praying, no doubt, and in the Spirit again, the Spirit, what was speaking and revealing that when Paul came to Jerusalem, bond and afflictions. Of course, they misinterpreted that. Then, very interesting, after that, they go down to Philip, the evangelist's home, and he had four daughters that prophesied. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Well, verse 10. As he was in Philip's house, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he came to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And so what is happening? Again, the Holy Ghost is bearing witness. And that's what I want you to see over and over and over again. Paul said, everywhere I go, every time I'm in the Spirit, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. Every time I'm with disciples and we're praying together, everyone's picking this up. And then he goes and disciples over here tell him this. And then the prophet of God says, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen to the man that owneth this girdle." And so looking at this, we see how the Holy Ghost operates. If it's important, if it's imperative, if it's something the Spirit of God wants, or is there something before you that you must enter into, the Spirit of God will say it over and over and over and over and over again. I've known some people that they get personal prophecies when a prophet's in town. And I remember when my wife, she's not here. The only reason she's not here, she's got a new car and a navigator didn't work and sent her to Timbuktu. And so she returned home. And so we'll have to make sure she gets the right coordinates. I didn't have time to teach her the new navigation system. But when she was sensing a call to the ministry, and I don't know if you were there, every single prophet kept calling her out and prophesying the same thing to her over and over, I mean, 5-6 times. And of course, Reverend Joel, if you know him, he could be a little whatever that it is called. And I'll be careful, he's not here to defend himself. Even if he were here to defend himself, I wouldn't let him speak. And, you know, when Dr. Dufresne would call her out and say the same thing, there's also a place for you in the vineyard. There's also a ministry gift in you. Over and over again. And, you know, Brother Joel says, if you get one more prophecy about you being called to the ministry, you know, he said something or another. And then my wife began to wonder, am I dense? Is there something wrong with me? No. That's how the Holy Ghost operates. If it's important, if it's imperative, if it's something he wants to do or something trying to get you into, he'll not just say it once. He'll say it over and over again. Aren't you glad he does that? And that's why, you know, if you're seeking God and you have a little inkling to do something, it's all right to say, "Talk to me again about that." He is delighted to do it over and over again until you make sure that you know it's him. You know, and we know this. It's also human nature. Now, you know, I have three daughters, and they're a great joy. They're beautiful daughters. And, you know, when they were 5 years old, I told them to clean their room. And, you know, I just didn't say it once and lasted their entire life. And they say, "Okay, I got it, Dad. For the rest of my life, every day, I am going to clean my room. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I got it. According to thy word, be it unto me." No. Now, you may have some compliant folk like that, but every day, sometimes more than once a day, clean your room. Clean your room over and over again. Why? It's important. And a good parent will repeat what is necessary, what is important. A good pastor will repeat over and over again that which is important. You know, if you follow Brother Hagin, he just liberate you from the fear of repetition. You go same stories, same illustrations, the same thing over and over again. Why is it? Well, one aspect is faith comes by hearing and hearing. But also, repetition just secures in our own heart and our life. And you know, sometimes you may hear something by the Spirit or hear someone say something. And if it's the only time you hear it, that's questionable. But according to the Word of God, according to what we read here, if it's of the Spirit over and over again, and we should never despise that. Over and over again. You know, we've heard a lot of late about the end time move of God, haven't we? Aren't you glad that God just didn't tell Brother Hagin or Smith Wigglesworth or Lester Sumrall back then and just once about this end time move of God, and we'd have to find the video clip or the YouTube or the MP3 and try to track it down to know what God wants to do. But how does God do it? Over and over again, over people, over generations, over and over and over again, that he talks about what is going to happen in these last days. And so I'm establishing the fact this is how the Holy Ghost operates. This is part of his ministry when he's trying to get something over to the body of Christ. And so tonight, you know, I laid that as a foundation that I want to share with you something that the Holy Ghost has been emphasizing of late. And I could say, like Paul in every city, wherever I am at, every time I'm in prayer, every time I'm in the prophet's office, this is something that the Holy Ghost keeps bringing up. Why is that? He is emphasizing it. Well, we know this, and if you've been in any of my meetings, since the fall of, I think, 2016, 2017, the Holy Ghost has been emphasizing prayer. And I tell you, over and over and over and over and over again. I'm talking several times a week. I'm talking several times when I'm ministering, the Holy Ghost keeps saying, get the church to pray. The church's part in the last days is to pray. Not only do they pray, and he keeps getting on me to pray more. To pray more. Then, you know, I go on a few days and I get in the Spirit, and again, he says the same things over and over again. That way we don't miss it. That way we know what he's saying. And so I've been teaching on prayer, and that is continuing. But there's something within the past. Well, this year he's been emphasizing on top of the prayer, and that he's saying over and over again. And just this last week and past few weeks, I've been getting more light and more revelation, and I'm beginning to realize, man, this is important. This is imperative. If we don't get this down, we can't go any further with God. And we all want to go further with God. And it's very interesting what the Holy Ghost has been saying this year. He's been stressing to me over and over and over again. And if my wife were here, she could testify every time in spirit when we get together, the Spirit of God keeps saying the same thing again and again. And it's this, the importance of light and easy. The importance of light and easy. Now, if you remember at the start of this year, the Holy Ghost spoke expressly through the prophet's office, this would be a year of easy receiving. And he just stressed easy. Things ought to be that there's something about easy. And, you know, we rejoice with that. And we're grateful and say, yeah, you know, we've done it the hard way. We want the easy way. But as this year has progressed and as I progressed and getting more and more in the Spirit, he gave me more insights about the importance of easy, the importance of light and easy. And now, how does this work? Well, you get in the Spirit. John said in the book of Revelation, John the Apostle, John in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. And when he was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, he heard things. He saw things. Paul said, praying always in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Yeah, I used to think that meant the Spirit, you know, in other tongues, but it didn't say with the Spirit, it said in the Spirit. It's talking about a place. It's a place that John went to in the book of Revelation. Now, not every time you pray will you be, you have a experience like John, but the Spirit is a literal place. It's a place when you're more aware of spiritual things than natural things. And how do you know if you're ever in the Spirit in prayer? There's a very simple rule of thumb. You know, the Bible says, just one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. You know, one day in heaven is like 1,000 years here. And that is the absence of time. Have you ever prayed? And man, you know, you thought maybe you prayed 40 minutes, 50 minutes. Man, it's got to be an hour I prayed, and it's been 7.5 minutes. That's a good indicator you're not in the Spirit. You're still in the flesh. But maybe you've had this experience. If not, you know, press in to have this experience that you prayed. And it was so liberating. I mean, and there was an unction on you. And you thought maybe you prayed 10, 20 minutes and it's been an hour. And see, that's an indicator that you're in the Spirit. The more that you're in the Spirit, the less you're conscious of time. And all of us can get in a measure of the Spirit. We won't necessarily have a visitation, but we can get in position. Wow, praise and worship, praying in tongues is probably the best way. And so I would get in the Spirit. And as I get in the Spirit of God would reveal truths of what He is emphasizing. And a lot of times this is how it would work, is through tongues interpretation. We understand that in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said this, "What is it then, brethren? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray the understanding also." And he was talking about how to have understanding of what you're praying for in tongues. I mean, when you pray in tongues, no man understands them. He speaketh mysteries. Your head has no idea what you're saying. But what Paul was saying is that you can ask God for interpretation. That way your mind can get some understanding in light of what you're praying about. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, every believer ought to be praying for interpretation. I used to interpret that verse like this, I'll pray in English and I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in English, pray in the Spirit. Just kind of mix it up. But that's not what he's saying. He didn't say he would pray in understanding, pray in the Spirit. He said, what is it then? I'll pray in the Spirit first, then in understanding. And that's in the context of interpreting your prayers. And every believer, the Holy Ghost, ought to, as the Spirit of God wills, be interpreting their prayers. And I'm not talking about, you know, big revelation. At least words ought to be coming out. That way, you know, if you're praying and all of a sudden a person's name comes out or a situation comes out, that is the Holy Spirit getting light to your mind. Hey, I'm praying about so-and-so or such-and-such. And so a lot of times that's how it works in the not getting the Spirit. And the Spirit of God kept saying, the best, God's best is light and easy. And he kept saying, the best, light and easy, the best. And he would say this, if it's not light and easy, it's not God's best for you. Over and over. Then he'd go on and say other things. He says, if it's not light and easy, you're in disobedience. Yeah. Now, we rejoice in that. You know, but more and more revelation come, and we're coming to something, because this is vitally important for the Spirit of God to keep emphasizing it. It's vitally important. But of late in prayer meetings, and it seems like, depending on who's with you in the context of a prayer meeting, will determine how much in the prophet's office you can operate in. And in a prayer meeting on August 27th, 2019, it was my wife and Pastor Katie. So Pastor Katie's a witness. I'd have my wife to testify, but now Pastor Katie. So that's why you got to be there, because the Holy Ghost knew my wife wasn't going to be here. So that's why you got in a cookie jar when no one else got in a cookie jar. But she would come, you know, once a month to pray with my wife and I and learn how to pray. And Spirit of God wills, and it just seems of late, Spirit of God would come on me. And that prayer meeting, I've never had this happen before. I'm praying, minding my own business, having utterances, and all of a sudden, and the Holy Ghost said, stop. And he said, you have these two, write down what you're about to say. And so I said, go write this down, record this. And I thank God the Spirit of God didn't leave me because I didn't know what I was going to say. You know, and so then the Spirit of God said this, there are three things that are absolutely required of you in order to get to next level in God, next level in your ministry, to go further in God's, you know, something to that extent. I have the transcript of the actual wording. And so here, the Spirit of God, through my voice, and I'm hearing just like they're hearing it, there are three things that are vital for you to go any further, to you to get next level. These same three things must be in place. And so they're writing down, and I'm saying, I hope the Spirit of God don't leave me because I don't know what those three things are. See, a prophet speaks by inspiration, not by something he figures out or something he studies. And so I'm saying, oh, dear God, don't fail me now. Right. And the first step, he said, wouldn't be my first step. I wouldn't even consider it in the equation. And so there's something here that I want to share with you. In Isaiah 55, you don't need to turn there. We know the scripture. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord of hosts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Now, the reason I brought that scripture out, like I said, the first thing he said, to me, that really is important. You know, to me, I would say that's optional. You know, I'm just being honest. That's optional. But according to the word, that our thoughts are not his. Our ways are not his. And a lot of times, what we think is important and imperative, heaven don't think that's that important. And some things that we don't think that are important, imperative, heaven says it's mandatory. Yes. It's keeping you out of the next level in God. So the Spirit of God gave us these three things and says it's imperative for these three things to be in place, for you to get to next level. You would not go any further in God unless you have these three steps. Now, would you like to know these three steps? Yeah. We'll come back tomorrow with a good offering and we'll say it. No, absolutely. No, the first step, and Pastor Katie's here, can testify. The first thing he said, the importance of personal freedom. And we're going to, you know, give, and each one of these steps he gave instructions and illustrations concerning. Number two, seeking God. The number three, boldness. And that boldness would lead to signs and wonders that we so desire. Remember, the early church said, now, Lord, grant in thy servants what? With all boldness. And boldness must be in place before the signs and wonders. Then the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of prophecy, said, you cannot have number three. You will not have number three unless the first two are in place. Many people, their boldness is just an arrogance, something they try to work out. Boldness, true boldness, is an outflow of what's in your spirit. And so he shared, the Spirit of God shared the importance of these things. And he kept stressing the personal freedom and how important it is. And he said this, unless you learn to walk in your personal freedom, you can go no further in me. You can go no further. You know, to me, I think personal freedom, well, you can take it. You know, as long as you have signs and miracles and wonders and the anointing, you know, and your life's a little wrecked and messed up and you're full of anxieties, fears, and worries, that's all right because you've got the most important thing. God says, unless you have this in place, you can't have that. Then I saw it, you know, when as I was prophesying, revelation began to come. And I saw people crying out for God. God, more signs. more miracles, more wonders. God, we want a move of God. We want to see the glory. And then I saw by revelation, they're not in a position to receive it. That's why we don't see it. We're waiting for God to send something. God's waiting for us to be in a position to receive it. It's here. The reason we don't see it is we're not in a position to receive it. Why? Because our lives are messed up. Yeah. Yeah. We're full of fears, worries, anxieties. We're troubled about this, troubled about that. Our emotions are up and down, you know, all over the place. But yet, God, move. And God says, I can't. See, we cry for these things. And the Spirit of God says light and easy. And he says this, if you're not living in the light and easy, you cannot receive more from heaven. If you're not in light and easy, heaven cannot promote you into more. You may want more, but you don't qualify for more because you're not walking in light and easy. Now, let me give you further light concerning this. With greater signs, miracles and wonders, with greater anointing and greater grace comes greater opposition. We heard what Paul said, bonds and afflictions. And I just want to get you some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 16:9, you don't need to turn there. A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there's many blessings waiting for me at the door. Many blessings. Sweet blessings. No, we know what it says. There are many. Not just one, many adversaries. So what is that saying? When you get into a door of more, there's more opposition. And you see, where we failed, we're not handling our opposition well now, where we're at. And God can't bring us to the door more because we're not at peace. We're not full of joy. We're not living light and easy, and therefore we cannot have more. It would destroy us. Again, what I thought would be number one is not what the Lord thought would be number one. But the Spirit of God all this year keeps saying, light and easy, light and easy. Mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, that means a measure of grace and anointing. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, revelations from heaven, there was given to me an angel of the Lord to bless me and to tuck me into bed at night and to sing lullabies as I go to sleep. There was given to me a messenger of Satan to what? Buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, we understand this. We're taught well. Some people think that God gave Paul the thorn. No, it's a messenger of Satan. Satan sent a messenger. Why? Paul was being exalted by revelation grace. God was exalting Paul to a place of greater signs, miracles, wonders, a greater grace, greater utterances. You know, a door more. And with that door more came more opposition. And so there's a move of God coming. We know this. It's been the prophet's been saying, all the gifts of the Spirit in full operation, manifestation, especially the working of miracles. You know, I think of eyes that, you know, blind, you know, eyes, you know, where there's no eyes, eyes appearing, no arms, arms growing, you know, working of miracles, you know, the gift of faith, great things. And, you know, we all want more, more. Yes, yes, Lord, gifts of the Spirit. But unless we're enjoying life and at total peace, total victory where we are now in the level of grace we have, he can't give us more. It will destroy us. Yeah. You know, and especially if you're called to ministry. What else was prophesied? The full potential power of all the ministry gifts. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And you know if you're called to ministry, more God, more anointing, more grace, more sign, more. And the Bible says he giveth more grace. He's in the grace giving. He's the one who's been saying this more, not us. And we want what he has. But we're full of worries, anxieties, cares. We're troubled. You know, we get our knees scratched spiritually and we cry over it and boo-hoo and why are they saying these things? We're up and down, we're roller coasters emotionally, but we want more. And God says, I can't give you more. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. So the importance of light and easy. We want more. God wants. Aren't you glad you came here this morning, tonight? You are waiting for an angel to appear. But you're getting your answer tonight. So more and more he's been showing me the importance of light and easy. And he kept saying, if you're not enjoying light and easy, you're in disobedience. You're in disobedience. And then I would pray. And I keep praying out, these truths must be shared. These truths must be taught. These truths must be obeyed. Over and over again, then he would say, light and easy. These truths of light and easy. And would you like to hear something else that he said? And again, we have a witness, Pastor Kate. See, if you want to hear from heaven and you want my prophet's office to be in manifestation, you have to be where my wife and Pastor Kate are praying with me. And if you're not, then you're just going to have to figure it out for yourself. Yeah. But it just happens. Now, why is that? Because we're ministers, you know, and we're praying. And plus, a lot of times, if people are very careful to write down what I say, the Lord's more apt to say something. Yeah. Now, learn that about the Holy Ghost. If you get prophecies and you don't write them down, He might be not apt to tell you because it's not important to you. Remember what he said to the Habakkuk the prophet? He said, write the vision down. Make it plain. If it's important to you, you write it down. And so my wife knows to always have a recording whenever we pray and be ready to write. And Pastor Katie's like that, gives me transcripts. And that's why the Holy Ghost sees fit that there's a scribe there. So November 21st. Thursday, which is just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, again, prayer meeting with my wife and Pastor Katie. I was praying, and I began to interpret what we've been praying. And after interpreting what we pray, I began to prophesy. And utterances would come out again, over and over again. Now, are these things true? The best is light and easy. I keep saying the best is light and easy. And he said, the plan must be carried out, but without enlightenment. The plan must be carried out, but without light and easy, they will do without. Now, as you know, naturally, I'm a very poetic type of person. And if you know me, I'm not. You know, I'm like a bull in a china shop. You know, yes, no, you know, black, white, white. But a lot of times, the Spirit of God comes in rhymes. And so, you know, it's the Spirit of God. Being lighthearted and free must be in every circuit. And that was very interesting. That he said, circuit of our lives, connection. Everything we touch ought to be light and easy. In order to have my full planned purpose to be wrought in your lives, listen to what he is saying to you. So many are troubled about this, restless about that, fearful about this thing, fearful about that thing. Those things hinder the flow of light into your life. Light and easy must be in every aspect of our lives, not to be troubled or worried, not to be burdened, not to have a care. Nothing, absolutely nothing, qualifies for us to have these weights and cares. Then he gave the scripture, laying aside every weight. And I never saw that before. You know, I used to think, interpret that weight means watching too much television. Spend too much time in hobbies that take you away. And those things can be weights. But I saw some of the greatest weights from you running your race at being troubled, being sorrowful, being concerned, being worried, being troubled. That weighs you down spiritually. See, I never saw this before. Laying aside every weight. And he kept saying, you've got to lay aside these weights in order to run your race. And he kept saying, obey the light and easy. Light and easy receives revelation. Light and easy receives increase. These truths must be taught. They must be preached. They must be demonstrated for the next level of God's glory to be made manifest in the body of Christ. And he goes on. Again, the Spirit of God will do that. He'll say something, then he'll go over it. And he says, too many busy going here. Too many busy going there. Too many busy with the affairs of life. Too many busy with cares and worries and anxieties of the soul and of the mind. Free yourselves of these things. Free yourselves from all worries and anxieties and cares to enter into next level of God's glory. Now notice again, he's talking about being free and light in order to enter into what he has. We want that. We cry for that. We pray for that. And God says, no, you've got to take care of this. Then he went on to said this. Many have asked. Many have desired and cried out, Lord, give me more. More glory, Lord. More signs. More wonders. Yet they're full of cares. Full of worries and full of anxieties. Full of the business of the affairs of this life. So separate yourselves. Separate yourselves that would distract you and that would dull your spiritual senses. Come aside and receive and learn of me, and the things you desired shall be revealed unto you. But they can only be revealed in a place of rest, revealed in a place of easy. This is the place to receive. And again, first came tongues, and this is just prophesying. These truths must be shared. These truths must be taught. These truths must be obeyed for the glory of God to have full sway. Now, are you seeing here? This is what we want. We want glory. We want signs, miracles, and wonders. God said it. Well, why ain't we seeing it? There's something in our life that we got to be free of. Being free of worries, cares, and anxieties. Over and over again, says, that's what's stopping you from next level. That's stopping you from signs and miracles, light and revelation. And there were other things, you know, it went on. It went on for some time that he said by the Holy Ghost. And, Pastor Kate and my wife are getting transcripts for it. And see, this is what the Spirit of God is bearing witness over and over and over again. The importance of light and easy, being carefree, troubled free. See, to me, I look at it as optional. Well, yeah, it's part of it. But as long as I have signs, miracles, and wonders, I can put up with a little anxiety, a little fear. And God says, no, you can't. That's sin. That is a weight. That will keep you from entering in. You take care of that, then you can get into that. Yeah. Now, what's very interesting, how many know the mouth of two or three witnesses? This is something over and over again. The Spirit, like Paul, bearing witness over and over. Pastor Nancy Dufresne was in St. Petersburg, Russia on May 5th, 2018. And the Lord gave her the price of the double portion anointing. Of how to get into more, right? Now, I'm not reading the whole prophecy. I just reading a segment of it. You've called out for that place in the anointing, which God appreciates, but you must be sober about the responsibility that anointing calls for. It pleases God to bless you with that anointing, but it calls for you to be pleased to bring yourself in line with the responsibilities of that anointing. Smith Wigglesworth is an example of consecration and responsibilities towards that anointing. He lived and walked in the Spirit with ease. freedom and liberty as he spent his days feeding and meditating on the Word of God and in fellowship with God through ongoing devoted prayer, ongoing devoted prayer life. Be mindful and purpose to give yourself to a lifestyle of intake of the Word and fellowship with me through continued prayer. Then Jesus said this, "My yoke is light and easy." This can be accomplished with the lightness of ease of giving yourself focusing on these two things. Continually feeding and meditating on the Word, continued prayer and fellowship with God. Doing these things will help you keep the door closed to the mind of flesh through which Satan seeks to gain entrance. And notice anxieties, fears. Well, that's how he comes in, through the soul, through the mind. If you don't got this discipline, you can't get into more. In my presence... No, and Jesus said this to her, "Meditate often and much on the lightness and ease of my yoke, that you'll think right towards these things. My presence is fullness of joy. Carry out my plan in my presence, then you will hold yourself the joy of this flow, where the mind and body are always kept under dominion of your spirit through continual intake of the Word and prayer. Be an example of this, for you have the help of the greater one carry this out. There is no burden to the responsibilities of anointing as you take up your cross to follow me. It lifts you into the lightness of ease of my flow." Notice again, light and easy, the flow. And Jesus said this, "I never conducted my earthly ministry as being under the burden of the price that I had to pay. Life for me was a great joy and delight. I only experienced being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for a few moments on the cross. And I carried the sorrows and griefs so that you would never experience them for a moment. In bearing it, I freed you from that which would be a burden into your life. I provide for you that which is light and easy." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I'm fixing to close. That was just my introduction. I'll read this, then we'll stop. The master's got some things he wants to do. Maybe we'll pick this up a little bit next week. In Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And there's many things that, you know, I'll have to see if we can pick them up next week, because I know the Spirit of God wants to do some things and help some folks. But notice, Jesus said, "Learn of me." He says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The way I operate, the flow of my kingdom is light and easy." Brother Hagin, over and over again, would read Romans 14, 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." How do you know you're operating properly in God's kingdom, in God's flow? By peace and joy in your life. That's light and easy. That's light and easy. And see, there's some things that God wants to get all of us into, but we got to get this straightened out. And, you know, maybe we'll pick this up. I don't want to go too long. The Spirit of God just came on me to minister. We know this in Philippians 4, 6. King James, careful for nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, you don't understand. This happened. This has happened with my family. This happened in my finances. Nothing. Absolutely nothing qualifies you to have worries, cares.